I'm Jessica Perlman, and I've worked with a group of colleagues to look at the trends of smoking in Russia since the transition. I'd like to acknowledge particularly Anna Gilmore, who's done an extensive amount of policy document research that's provided the basis for some of this work. So, the background to this work. While the prevalence of smoking in Russia has long been high, especially in men, with well over half the population smoking, in the female population, smoking has been relatively uncommon in the past, but we think that the rates are increasing, especially since 1991, when communism ended. In Russia, the accumulated burden of tobacco-related deaths is amongst the highest in the world, especially amongst men, as you can see with that rate of smoking, inevitably rates of lung cancer, rates of heart disease will be very high. But what of the transnational tobacco companies? Well, since 1991, when before then the tobacco had been produced nationally, the companies became privatised. So international companies invested very heavily and they adopted pretty aggressive marketing techniques aimed especially at women and initially at urban dwellers but later on extending to other areas. And we know that from the documents that we've seen. And there's been fairly weak legislation against the tobacco companies and we've seen a huge increase in cigarette sales across Russia. So our aim was to use data from a longitudinal study to examine trends in smoking in Russia and see whether these trends in any way reflected the activities of the tobacco companies. We got together several hypotheses based on these actions. We hypothesised that there would be an especially large rise in smoking in women and that the rate in rural areas would rise towards those in urban areas. We suspected that rates in men might change very little, but that educational differences might increase. And amongst all people, we expected that the age of smoking uptake would decrease because the activities of the companies were particularly aimed at young people as well. So, methods. This is a scene in a market in a Russian town. We used a large survey called the Russia Longitudinal Monitoring Survey, which is a household panel survey. Most of the data, that from 1994 onwards, was taken from 38 centres across Russia. The centres were stratified according to socio-economic and other criteria. And although Moscow and St. Petersburg were included automatically, other areas were selected to be represented. And so we had rural and urban areas included. And we also managed to get a couple of rounds of data from an earlier phase, 1992 and 1993, where there were slightly fewer centres. So we included respondents aged 18 and over. Well, the questions asked in each round were, do you smoke? Except in the very earliest round, where it was, have you smoked? And if the answer was yes, do you smoke now? With the prevalence to account for differences in population makeup in each round, we age standardised them to each round, to the 1994 round. We then did further analyses according to age band, according to three categories of education, and according to area of residence, either the two main cities, other urban areas, or rural areas. But we could only do education and area from 1994 onwards. And finally, we looked at age of first smoking amongst those who currently smoked. For the linguists amongst you, this is actually in Bulgarian and not Russian. Looking at smoking prevalence, as we can see in the pink, the prevalence of smoking in women doubled, and that was very highly significant. But somewhat surprisingly, there was a significant rise in male smoking as well, from around 58% to around 62-63% during the period of the study. Looking by age band, this chart just refers to men. We notice a significant change amongst those aged 35 to 44, and then an increase in the 45 to 54s and the 55 to 64, so that's in the middle-aged groups. In women, we see a much more dramatic picture, with very highly significant increases in smoking, most notably in the two youngest groups. We see that in women in their 20s to their mid-30s, a rise from 12% to nearly 30%. Looking at area of residence, the top chart refers to men, and as we can see, there's a weak increase in men in all areas, but what we see in women is that there's a very strong increase in all areas, and what's happening is that women in rural areas are catching up with those in urban areas. However, the yellow line at the top shows that those in the main cities really are still quite a long way ahead. Looking now at education, well, there is an educational difference in men, but really it didn't change all that much during the survey. The educational gradient in women did increase, but sadly that wasn't because any group decreased their smoking. All groups increased, it was just that those with the least education, their prevalence increased much more than those with the higher education. Finally, looking at age of smoking uptake, and remember this is just amongst smokers, in men there was no significant change, amongst women there was a significant decline in age of uptake between those born in the 1920s, 30s and 40s to those particularly born in the 1970s. So, discussion points. The gender differences. The high prevalence of male smoking was comparable to other studies that have been done, but the further small significant increase was somewhat surprising. Probably relates to the size of the study that we have here that we were able to show this. In women, the prevalence doubles over a 10-year period, and although there's been suggestion in other studies that this was the case, this is the first time this has been shown significantly and unequivocally. The smoking rate in women is still much lower than in men, and again, the rates in women are comparable to other surveys. Looking at the socio-demographic differences, as we've seen, the greatest rise was in the least educated in men and women, but most notably in women. First time, this is the first time that we've actually been able to demonstrate this widening educational gradient, which was shown to be statistically significant. Geography, well, it's well known that urban women smoke more than rural women, but the rising rural rates, again, this was demonstrated for the first time here. And the age of first smoking, as we've seen, is younger in the younger female cohorts. So going back to the hypotheses, we hypothesised that there would be an increase in female smoking and that rural prevalence would rise, and both of those were shown to have occurred. In men, we thought there might not be much change in prevalence, but in fact there was some prevalence. However, we thought that the educational inequalities in men might increase, but in fact this did not happen very much. And again, we thought that the age of smoking uptake would lower, and this occurred in women. So, I think what we've shown is that the changes in smoking in transitional Russia are consistent with the known patterns of transnational tobacco company activity, that our hypotheses were mostly confirmed. These companies have gone to a huge amount of trouble to undermine tobacco control in Russia and other former Soviet countries, and these efforts appear to have been successful. It would be interesting to see if these findings would apply to other countries from the region, since the tactics adopted by the companies are really much the same. And of course there are future lessons for countries with state-run companies which have the potential to be deregulated, that this is a reference to the paper that just came out last month in tobacco control. Thank you very much. Increased in younger women.